We're going to jump right into the Word this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about grace. We're talking about the Christmas list. This is the list of stuff that Jesus gave us. Not the stuff you're giving everybody else, not the stuff you want to get, not the stuff on the Amazon list, but the stuff that Jesus gave us when he came. So last week we talked about grace, and grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's when God gives you love and mercy without you earning it, without you ever doing anything to deserve it. As a matter of fact, you probably are doing the opposite of deserving it. We do things that would keep us from being loved by some people, but yet God says, I love you. I have a plan for you. I want to bless you. You're mine. You belong to me. And that's grace. And so today we're going to talk about truth a little bit. Now, the Bible says in John 8:32, it tells us this, that if we know the truth, we will know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Now that's an important part of this morning. So John 8:32, I just want you to look it up on your own time. That's the reason it's not on the screen. This is on you. I want you to take this one home with you. John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not love is going to set you free. Truth is going to set you free. All right? So it's important to understand the difference in the two. So we're going to look at both of them this morning and look back at this scripture as we do it. So John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says this, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Now we know the Word in this scripture means Jesus. And the Word, so we have the Word, we have the scripture, we have the Bible. He's saying that the Bible is telling us that Jesus and the Word are synonymous. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So the truth, the Word, has existed all along. You don't have to figure it out. It is Jesus. It's pretty simple. You find Jesus and you find the truth. Now, if you move down 14 verses below that, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He said he came full of grace and truth. When Santa Claus comes down your chimney, he's going to be full of gifts. When Jesus showed up, he was full of grace and truth. Now, this is incredibly important for our everyday walk with the Lord. The thing that jumps out to me the most in this is the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. This is our Christmas story. Jesus came in the flesh as a human being dealing with all the garbage that you and I deal with. The Bible says he's tempted in every way you've been tempted. Everything you've dealt with, he's dealing with. He's already dealt with, all right? So when we recognize that he came in the flesh and he's defeated every foe that we could ever face, that's what Christmas is all about. The eternal Word, Jesus, showed up in a human body. Now, the angel said to Joseph, she'll bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus and he will save his people from their sins. He said he's going to bring grace and he's going to bring truth. Now, grace is when us sinners, we're unable to work our way to God. We don't have the ability to work our way to God. Enough good deeds won't do it. We can't be religious enough. We can't attend church enough. We can't have good enough intentions to save us. That's why Jesus came, so that we could be saved. That's the story. That's the Christmas story. That's what he came to give to each of us. Now, Jesus is the only one that could have done it because he's the only one that was perfect. So when we recognize that and we recognize what he has done in our lives, then we appreciate grace like never before. The Bible teaches us if you've been forgiven of a lot, you're a lot more forgiving of other people. When you recognize how low and down and out you were and how far from God you were and how he received you in, the Bible said he's standing at the door knocking, waiting for you to open up. So when you opened the door and said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I want you. And he showed up and you recognize the difference in your life before Christ and after Christ, it's easy to be thankful for that. And it's easy to share that grace with other people. John Newton is a character from history. He was a white man who sold slaves. And somewhere along the way, he found Christ. He found, not only did he find Christ, he found forgiveness, and he started to forgive himself, and he was moved so much by the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, that he spent the rest of his life fighting the slave trade. Now, you might know him. He wrote a little bitty song named Amazing Grace. He recognized how important grace was. Listen to the first verse of Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's a man who recognized God's grace. The history says that when John Newton was on his deathbed, he said these words, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things." Ooh. He said, "I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." That's what this is about this morning. It's not about me. It's about what he's able to do in me. That's grace. When we really understand God's grace, we want to share that grace with somebody else. We want to love them even though they're not perfect. And we want to care for them even though they don't have anything to give back, when we appreciate the grace we've been given. But there's also truth. Now, truth is very different than grace. Everyone has had somebody say to them, "You're doing that wrong." You ever had the boss say to you, don't do it like that? And you got a little bit miffed because you're like, "I've been here a long time, doggone it. You can't tell me how to do my job." And you forgot that he was the boss or she was the boss for just a minute. Even harder is when somebody who lives in your house starts telling you did it wrong. And we have this tendency to push back. We don't like to be told. We don't like to be corrected. Correct a kid sometimes until they learn, they jump back. They get a little mouth on them, a little lip, till you calm that down, all right? We don't like truth. Truth hurts. Grace feels so good. "I love you. Come over here. Let me give you a big old hug." Truth is, that's not the way we do this. Remember, the Bible said Jesus came with grace and truth. The Bible said he was full of grace and truth. He wasn't overbalanced on either side, right? He came with both of them. Now, if I know the truth, I also know that the truth is uncomfortable sometimes. John 14:6 says this, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Now, I love the way Jesus sets this up. He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." So he said, now you know how to get there. No one can come to the Father except through me. He was laying some truth on him. He said, "I am the truth, and let me lay a bit more truth on you. You're not going to get to heaven. You're not going to get to God without coming through me." And it would be easy for someone to go, "Well, that's not the path I choose." And Jesus is like, "Well, you can believe in the lie. But if we're going to believe in the truth sets us free," the Bible said, right? "You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus is not a truth. He is the truth. He's just not one of many. He is the truth. He has a monopoly on truth. The truth stings a little bit. Our character is revealed by how we respond to truth. When I'm reading my Bible and I go, "Boy, so-and-so really needs to read this scripture. Have I got a scripture for you?" We come to church on Sunday morning, we're like, "Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They really need this one." And the Bible is teaching us here that the truth applies to all. You will know the truth and it will set you free. Not you'll know the truth and it'll set somebody else free. He's saying, "I want to deal with you." And it's a gift. It's a gift. You ever say to your kids, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you"? I never said that to my kids. I was like, "I ain't going to lie to you. This is not going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." All right. But we're going to do it anyway. All right. Truth stings a little bit sometimes. Truth is like a roadmap. And you open up the truth, A roadmap does not adapt to you. A roadmap does not go, he feels like this is the right way, so we'll get him there. A roadmap requires that you adapt to it if you want to get to your destination. Now, you can go off somewhere else, but if you want to get to the destination, you got to follow the truth of the map. Have you ever been driving somewhere and you just feel like, I know the way. I got it. And your spouse, husbands or wives, we'll make it generic. Your spouse says, this is not the way. And you go, yeah, it is. I go down here, there's a gas station. It just feels right. And an hour later, you end up somewhere neither one of you have ever been before. And your spouse, like, I told you we should have opened that GPS. I knew 45 minutes ago when you turned on that left, we were going down the wrong place. See, it doesn't matter how you feel about the truth. It matters if you know the truth, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It doesn't say if you feel the truth. It says if you know it. Got to get it in here to get it down to here. When God starts working on us, he's going to give us some truth that's going to improve us along the way. That's a gift. The truth, you'll be free. Truth tells me how I'm doing. If I'm real honest and I evaluate my life compared to the truth, truth tells me where the road's going to lead. Truth tells me where I'm going. Truth shows me when I'm wrong. Truth shows me when I've taken the wrong path. It's unbendable. The truth is constant. It does not change. The truth never adapts to me. I have to adapt to the truth. Now, this is important. If you were to go to the doctor and he says you have a deadly disease, he shows you the x-rays, he gives you the statistics, he says if you don't get treatment, this is going to take you out. And you say, we'll see. I'm good, I'll just take my chance. I'm feeling good. I know what the x-rays say, I know you're the expert, I know what you say, but I'm gonna just roll the dice on this because I just feel good about it. If I don't accept the truth, I will never get well. Now, barring a miracle, we know that. But in this case, if we don't accept the truth and do what we're supposed to do, we lose everything. Grace is great. Grace makes me feel so good. Grace is when God just puts his arms around you and says, come on over here. All right? But he also says there's truth. And if you're going to take the right path, you're going to need to know the next step. Truth is not mean. Truth is love. So when we put grace and truth together, they work together or they don't work at all. If I have grace and I'm leaning heavy too far to grace, then the truth side is not working. Remember, I want to be free. I can be, grace is what gets me forgiven. Truth is what sets me free. So when I need both of these working together, you ever get your kids Christmas gifts and you wake up on Christmas morning, everybody's excited and everybody runs in and starts tearing into the gifts and you realize, I forgot the batteries. And dad, I'm not going to say if I've ever experienced this, but dad, you're out there in your pajamas hitting every 7-Eleven in South Irving. I mean begging guys for D-cell batteries and C-cell batteries and any, you have any batteries, I'll put some aluminum foil in there. We'll make it work. I just got to have batteries because the toy is worthless without the batteries. Grace doesn't work without the truth. They have to work together. We all, to some degree, understand both concepts. We get grace and we get truth. But in my experience, most people lean heavy to one side. All right, it has to do with their upbringing and their church upbringing and all the things that go in life. But we got to have both. If I'm a Christian and I appear to have, you know, a corner market on the truth, you know, the person that says, I'll tell you the truth. I'm always scared of that guy. who's out there beating people up with the truth. He feels harsh and self-righteous and legalistic, but on the other side, you've got the Christian who's just so full of grace, they don't have time for truth, and they're compromising and permissive and carnal, and so you don't have a balance, and God is saying, I gave you both of these gifts, and I want them to be used for my glory, and I want to do something in your life, and I want to build you up, I want to make you into what I've created you to be. Jesus was full of grace, and he was full of truth without compromising either one. It's up when we accept that, then we can do what Jesus did. Jesus, we used this illustration last week. When Jesus met the woman who had been caught in adultery, and they're about to stone her, and Jesus steps in. It was grace. He stepped in. He didn't have to, because that was the law of the time, right? Just let them stone her. It was crazy. And he stepped in, and he said, the Bible says he starts writing in the sand. And I love this, because he's writing with his finger. Somebody said, as we've said around here many times, I think Jesus might have been writing the sins of all the men who were holding the rocks out there. And maybe he was just about to start adding names beside the sins when Jesus said, the one of you that has no sin should cast the first stone. Well, rocks started falling, men started walking away, and Jesus then focuses directly on this woman. Obviously, she's in a terrible spot. And Jesus, look at John 8, verse 10. Then Jesus stood up again. Remember, he's been writing in the dirt. He stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord. That's grace, right? And then Jesus said, neither do I. That's that hug. Neither do I condemn you. She was guilty, but Jesus was giving her that big fatherly hug that I don't accuse you either. You are forgiven. But then he said this, go and sin no more. So in that one little verse, there is grace and there is truth. I don't condemn you, but now go and sin no more. And you put those together, and here's a lady that is forgiven and free to walk in the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. Grace without truth is not love. Truth without grace is not love. When we put those together, it accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. I want to play a little game with you. I want to play, this game is called Would You Rather? All right? If I know nobody else is around, it's just me, and I'm watching you walk out the front door today, and I know that outside the front door there is a man-eating lion that has not been fed in a month. Would you rather me say, hey, you better stay inside? Or would you rather me say, I love you? I won't ever see you again. I love you. How about this? If I see that you're about to walk into oncoming traffic, you're just happy, you're just full of grace and just living life, and you're about to step out in front of a semi-truck, would you rather that I say, hey, there's a truck coming, come back? Or would you rather me say, nice knowing you, you're awesome, you're just perfect? We all know what that looks like. I got a list of these, and some of them get gross. If there's a table with a glass of bleach sitting out there, and it looks just like a refreshing glass of lemonade, would you rather me say, drink up? It'll feel all right for a minute. It's okay. Or would you rather me say, don't drink that? We all know the answer to all these questions. We understand it. We get it. Truth says, let's be honest about the circumstances. Grace says, I'm going to forgive you. Watch this. Truth helps me recognize my failures. Grace helps me overcome them. If you don't get anything else we say this morning, I want you to get this. Truth helps me recognize my failures. It helps me recognize where I've messed up. Grace helps me overcome them. I got to be honest about where I am and what's going on in my life. It's not mean for the doctor to say to me, hey, you know, Patrick, you could, if you lose a few pounds, you'll feel better. And I just, if I can be real honest, I've had that conversation with the doctor. The doctor's like, let me show you what proper portions look like. I'm like, I know how much I'm supposed to eat. You don't have to show me that. You know what she was doing? She was sharing some truth. This is going to help you down the road. All right? The grace is, she's like, I'm going to help you do that. The truth hurts. The grace is, let me help you along that path. When we start walking in grace, we also need to walk in truth. We only get truth from Scripture. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Get to know Him, get to know His Word, get to know what He says, and He will show up in our lives, and He will work in our lives like never before. I want to go back, and I want to share one Scripture with you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church." The first sentence, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ." We'll speak the truth in love. There are times in my life where I have to say to another man of God that I look up to, I need you to pray for me in this area. I want you to hold me accountable in this area. I want some truth. I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be honest with me. Am I having a bad attitude about this, or is this righteous indignation? And sometimes the other person has to say, yeah, bro, you're wrong. That's not the way you should be acting. And I have a choice then. Am I going to back up and go, okay, let me seek some grace. Let me seek some forgiveness, because now I know the truth and I can be free if I want to. Let me back up and work through this with God's help and let God show up. I'm going to ask the band to come in just a minute. I want you to start asking them to sing in just a minute. Stand up with me if you would, everybody. What is an area in your life right now, my life right now, where we say the truth is kind of painful, but here's an area that I want to be free in. Let me recognize the truth so that I can walk in the freedom. I want to recognize the truth so I can walk in the freedom. If I recognize it and I'm willing to embrace it, I can be free today. I can be free. Is it an area of your life that just kind of cycles over and over and over again? That's probably an area where we need to apply some truth. Or we need to say, what am I doing here? Let me be honest with where I'm at. I know I can have God's grace. The Apostle Paul said it this way. Just because there's grace doesn't mean you should keep on doing sinful stuff. Just because you know God will forgive you doesn't mean you should just keep on doing it. As a matter of fact, Paul said, God forbid that you keep walking in that grace without applying some truth. I love this passage that we started with this morning for this reason. Jesus was full of grace and truth. They were both His gifts that have to be used together for us to grow into the men and women of God that He's called us to be. And when we do that, the sky's the limit of what He can do with our lives on a personal level. We're just going to take a minute here, and we're going to make this song a time of reflection and prayer. Maybe it's a time of self-examination to say, here's something in my life that I know the truth, and I need to start walking in that freedom now. And let's see what God will do. Father, bless this time right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it together.
You are worthy of it all, God. You are worthy of it all. For from You are all things, and to You are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
God loves us, then we believe He has a plan for us. If we believe, if we truly believe He loves us, we also believe that He has steps for us to take moving forward in our lives. We believe that He has it planned out. Our job is just to align ourselves with the truth and go where He's taking us. You don't have to know if you're going to be on the same job 20 years from now, but here's what you do have to know. I'm going to do my best. I will be aligned with God's plan for my life to the best of my ability. I'm going to apply the truth. That's what we need to know. That the goal of my life is to apply God's truth to my life so that I can walk in freedom and I can bring some other people along with me as I go. Amen. 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 We're going to pray two prayers this morning. One goes like this. Lord, I don't have a relationship with You. I want to admit that I've sinned. I want to believe on You. I want to confess You as Lord of my life. I know, just like John Newton, I am a great sinner, and I know that He is a great Savior. And so you just pray that prayer in your own way, just surrendering your life, your past, your mistakes, your failures, your sins. Surrender that to Him and let Him take over from there, walking with you along that journey. Here's the second prayer. God, help me to see the truth in my life. Help me to see the truth. Help me not to live a lie. The Bible says we can live a lie. We can believe lies, and there are lots of lies going around these days. I mean, just open up your phone. You'll find 100 lies before you walk out of the room. There's just lies everywhere. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. So we're going to pray about that. Lord, show me. Help me to align my life with Your truth. Father, we thank You so much for what You're doing today. God, I know that You have something going on in here today. I just believe, God, that You are working through Your word. You're working through Your word, God. The power of Your word changes us. We know the truth and we can be set free. Lord, if there's anybody in the room who doesn't know You, anybody watching online who doesn't have a relationship with You, we just pray right now, Lord, that You would just let them sense that You are wrapping Your arms around them, taking them on this journey, that You love them and You care for them. And Lord, if there's somebody who's just, Lord, struggling with an area in their life, that You would start this process, Lord, that they would start to get well and healing as they know the truth and they can walk in the truth every single day. God, we just give You praise for what's coming, for what You're going to do in our lives. And we, Lord, just want to give You, as this song says, we want to give You the glory because You deserve it. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to leave this one last analogy with you. Grace and truth is kind of like a faucet. You walk up to the kitchen faucet, you can get some hot water and you can get some cold water. You go too far either way, there are certain things you can't do. Can't wash dishes with just cold water. Can't wash your hands with all hot water. You got to have it somewhere in the middle. You got to balance out the grace and the truth in life so that we make sure we stay on the right path and we follow Him and He blesses us along this journey. Lord, bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being